lot of people do say that death is just a natural part of life, but I hope you all understand that it's not a natural part. It's actually a horrendous end. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. The glorious truth about who we are in Christ gives us the understanding that if we are in Him, if we're saved, if we've trusted in Him as our Savior, if we're abiding in Him, then we have eternal life. Jesus said we don't have to fear death, not only because He's defeated it, but also because we'll never see it. Jesus said, if you live and believe in Me, though you are dead, yet shall you live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. What a promise. If that were anybody else in the world or in history that had said that, I would scoff at the statement. But because it was made by the God of all creation who became flesh and dwelt among us so that we might behold His glory, I'm believing it, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm accepting it today as a reality in my life. We're here today to celebrate Sunday, to celebrate Christ, our risen Savior, to celebrate a God who did step out of heaven into this world to give us His life and to invite us to live this life He's given us on this earth with Him and through Him. But this is also a day that we celebrate Memorial Sunday. Tomorrow's Memorial Day, but we try to do something special on Memorial Day, and because of the distancing this year, we've not been able to do that. But if you are part of the armed forces at any branch at any time, we want to thank you for what you've done for us. But we also want to take a time to remember those that have fallen for this nation, fallen in the police forces for our communities, fallen as firefighters who were trying to save lives and property. People who have fallen, given their lives as a surrender to the will and needs of others. So we thank you all today on this Memorial Day Sunday. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the families that you've had that have lost their lives and given their lives in the greatest ways imaginable. But Memorial Day pales in comparison with the greatest death that's ever been known. And that was the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. That death that, for anyone who believes, gives eternal life. That death that was culminated really in the resurrection when He walked out of the tomb. Just earlier this week, on the 21st of May, we celebrated Ascension Day. It was the day, 40 days after the resurrection, 10 days before Pentecost, that we celebrate the time when Jesus literally rose from this world in a resurrected form indeed, in the midst of His disciples indeed, but He began to rise. And the Bible gives us record in Luke 24 and in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus was received up into the clouds. And the disciples stood there amazed at what they'd just seen, and the angels who were sent as the dispatch of heaven said, "What are you looking at, guys? This same Jesus who just went away in this like manner will also come." We read about that in 1 Thessalonians. So we're looking forward not only to the resurrection day, but we're looking forward to the ascension day of the church in emulation of what Jesus Christ has already done for us. I'm thankful that you're with us today. I'm so thankful for these that we've had, for Neil and Gail doing our music today, for our technical guys. Mark and Michael have been working feverishly getting these things ready this morning. We had some more issues with the things external to this church this morning, but we're excited about what's here. Thomas Barb's with us this morning. He's learning some of the things going to help us in our endeavors as we go forward. We've got our studio audience here. It's four people today, and we're thankful for every one of you. But I'm looking forward to next week. We got some announcements at the end of the service today, so don't leave us. I want you to hear what goes on. But we're today finding ourselves again in John chapter 15. I want to read the first 11 verses today. Here we find Jesus teaching His disciples the night before His death on the cross. And He said to them, "I am the true vine." I realize we went over this a couple of weeks ago, but there's so much in these passages that I might spend another bit of time, not only this week, but another week or two, just going through this. Andrew Murray wrote a book on the vine, the true vine, and it's a full book just on these few passages in John chapter 15. This is laden heavy with promises from God and truths about God's Word and things that we can look forward to and be excited about in this world. But here Jesus did say, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you that you may that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. We go back just the first few verses, and there Jesus again, he emphasizes the fact that he's the true vine. I talked about this last time, but I want to make sure you understand this. There is a false vine out there. And really, when Jesus said, I am the true vine, he was saying that in a singular context. In other words, he's the true vine. He's the only vine that is true, and there is no other. But there are many other vines out there that Satan has planted, brambles and bushes and weeds and thickets that are of no value to anybody but are there planted to draw us away, to get us tangled up, to miss the blessings of God. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. And church, we need to begin to be a people, and especially when all this begins to come to a head that we've been going through the past couple of months, we need to start being that true fruit that Jesus Christ has borne off the branches that are firmly attached to him who is the vine. He said, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. It's the Father who does all this. He and the Son and the Holy Spirit work together in glorious communion and in wonderful unity to do this work with us. And if you're a person out there today who doesn't believe in the Trinity, let me tell you, you need to be saved. You need to trust in God and believe and trust in the Word of God that teaches us the great truth that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit work together in glorious ways through us to accomplish these desires that He has for this world. My Father's the vine dresser, he says. He's the one who takes care of all this. He's the one who will cast these out that are unfruitful. He's the one who will take these up and bind these and place them into the fire to be done away with. But Jesus goes on and he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may be more fruitful. Now, I want you to think about that. And I know we went over this, but this is something that's very important in the church today. You know, it's sad, but within the Church of Jesus Christ, you see people today that come and go. They'll be here for a while. They'll flare up. They'll do all kinds of things. You think they're on fire for the gospel, and then before you know it, they're gone. You try to check on them, you find out, are you in a church somewhere else? Well, many times it's no, we're not. We'll be back, but the fact of the matter is, no, they've separated themselves from the vine. And that's a tragic time. Some people move, some people are called to different locations, but some people just aren't attached to the vine. And they have no desire to be in the vine. I hope you're not one of those. I hope you're a person who wants to stay firmly attached to the vine that is Jesus Christ, the true vine. He said that those who are a part of the vine can expect to be pruned. Friends, this is something the church has missed out on, but we're to expect hardships in this world. And we're to go into those hardships and receive those as gifts from God. You say, now how can I do that? Well, if you'll read this passage, you'll understand. Many of the trials, turmoils, tribulations, and temptations we go through are the things that God has allowed in our life to prune us and to make us more and more able to produce more fruit. They're just things that we need to go through and let the world see us going through those things with a firm and steadfast trust in our Savior and our Lord, directed and guided and encouraged by His Holy Spirit, claiming the God of all creation to be our very own and us to be His. And when those things happen, the world will take notice. It's a pruning process many times. Struggles that we go through are the Father's way of pruning the vine and making us more and more able to produce more fruit. Jesus said that you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. And that's something He said to the disciples and something He says to us. This is why it's so important for us to be a people who believe the Bible. If people ask me what I believe about the Bible, I say I believe it's God's Word from cover to cover, from Genesis 1 to Revelation. I believe it's all inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's the very words of God delivered to humanity. In Ephesians, we find a statement that's very strong and very encouraging and comforting to me, but it's a statement that we need to make sure that we hold on to. Ephesians 1:13 says this, "In Him you also," and in Him is speaking of Christ and no other, "in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." And we could talk a lot about eternal security there. We could talk about a lot of our walk with God. But I just want you to make sure that you understand that the way people are saved, all people, are by the Word of God. It's by the Word of God that's implanted itself within our lives, and that Word that we share with them through testimony of trust in God's Word, through faith in God's Word, through actions, but it's all from God's Word. We've got to make sure we understand that because, listen, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have chosen to draw people into their kingdom by us, using us in glorious ways to help people understand. And the way we know how to do that is not only to be saved by believing the word of truth that we've heard preached and taught and read, but also by obeying that word and obeying it every day. How much of the word? Well, Jesus teaches us a great truth that you need to make sure you remind yourself of over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away." Let me just stop there a minute. I hope you understand that one day all this that is, this beautiful earth that God has placed us in, this earth that's been tainted by sin, but still it's a beautiful place. I was out doing some things yesterday, and Rhonda and I were up on a ridge and overlooking the Bloomingdale area. And we were looking, and what beauty it was to see this little valley and to see the mountains behind us, and what a glorious thing it was, and to see the beauty of the sky and all the clouds that were just floating by and non-menacing. It was a glorious day, and I was thinking, what a beautiful world the Lord's allowed us to have. I love the mountains, and I love the plains, and I love the visions of the valleys, but, you know, this world is going to be put away one day, and a new heaven and a new earth are going to be established by God, and we'll get to live in that place forever. Friends, we've got to encourage all that we can to come and live in that place with us. You don't go to heaven just because you die. You die because you deserve hell. You go to heaven because you've believed in Jesus in this world. I hope you've trusted in Jesus. If you've not, and I hope we're blessed today with many people that are watching, maybe by chance, maybe by invitation, maybe you just stumbled up on this, but today we're preaching Jesus. The only way to go to heaven. There is no other way. I don't care what the world tells you. I don't care what the politicians say. Unless you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are destined for eternal hell. But if you have believed in Him, in Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, as the one who paid the penalty for your sins, you have heaven waiting on you. Are you abiding in Him, in this one who's invited you to do just that? Well, Jesus goes on and He says, "Until heaven and earth pass away, and it will pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." The King James says, not a jot or a tittle. A tittle is just a very little stroke at the end of some of the lines and some of the letters that distinguish them from other letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And a jot is the smallest letter in that alphabet, the smallest little stroke of a pen that has meaning in sentences and in words and in phrases and in clauses. And Jesus said that it's so important for us to understand that even those little tittle marks, even those little jots, the smallest letter won't pass away. So surely we can understand that His words and the things that we have in our Bible, the books that the Holy Spirit's brought to us, surely we know that those will never pass away until this heaven and earth is made new again and we're in His presence forever. Well, we go back to John chapter 15, and we think about those two verses, but we think about what he says in verse 4 too. He says to those in 3, you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. It's the word of Christ who is the word, and the words that the word who is Christ gave us that makes us clean and makes us born again. But he said, here's what I want you to do to his disciples. He said, abide in me. The word there, abide, is from the Greek meno, and it's a word that means to stay in place, to be attached to not be moved. Friends, that's what we've got to be in the service of Christ. We've got to be a people who are steadfast in our walk. We need to be a people who reside in Christ, to remain in Christ, to never let it be viewed or even thought that we're outside of Christ. We need to make sure that we're a people who abide in Him, because He's made a promise He'll abide in us. You ever wonder why you get so miserable whenever you sin? Well, it's because Christ is in you if you're born again. If Christ is in you, we'll still sin because we have a human nature that we've not overcome yet. But whenever Christ is in us and we're willing to abide in Him and we find ourselves in sin, we'll be miserable until we get that sin straightened out. That's why I have a great fear for a lot of the church. What you see inside, and I'm not talking about people outside in the world, I'm talking about people in the church. You see within the church people that are in sin, and it seemingly affects them in no way at all. They just go right on their merry way, claim to know Christ, maybe give their tithes and show up every time the doors open. But friends, when you're in sin, if you're not miserable, you're not abiding in the vine. Jesus said, abide in me and I'll abide in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. That's why it's so important to stay close to Christ and to do the work He's called us to do, and to do it with joy. I'm not going to be able to finish today, but I want you to notice it when you get to the end in verse 11. He says here, these things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. All these things that lead up to verse 11 are talking about the joy that Christ wants us to have in our walk with Him. We need to get away from that old concept of being these old long-faced people who walk around looking at the world. And we need to be a people of joy with thanksgiving and praise and knowing that our redemption is secured in Christ Jesus and knowing that we're abiding in Him and He's made a promise to always abide in us. Jesus goes on and He says, I'm the vine in verse 5, and you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I want you to notice something there, and this is a verse that has always startled me. But whenever you think about the vine, and here we're thinking particularly about a grapevine, these beautiful grapevines. I remember my grandmother used to have a Concord grapevine out behind her house, and it was run up a trellis that she'd built. And it was a beautiful vine, and in the time of the grapes, those grapes would hang down, and those clusters would be full, and they were so sweet and so good. She made jellies out of them and things, and we'd always enjoy those, but just taking them off the vine, they were so sweet and good to eat. But I want you to think about this. This is what Jesus has said here. I am the vine. You are the branches. You remember now, no fruit comes off the vine. The fruit comes off the branches. The branches are attached to the vine, but there's no fruit. You won't be able to go to the vine itself and pick any fruit. No, you look at the branch, and it's the branches that will hang down heavy with the fruit that's been produced by the glorious, miraculous work of God in nature. But it's the same way in us. God wants to use His church, the true church, to be that bearer of fruit out in this world so that the world might be able to enjoy the richness and the goodness of God Almighty. This is something that's amazing to think that we are the fruit-bearing instruments that God has chosen to use. Our Lord's the vine. We're the branches. And the fruit that God wants the world to enjoy will come off of us. Friends, this is a startling and glorious statement from God here in the Scriptures. And it's something we need to hold on to and think deeply about. I think it might not be bad for the church whenever we're able to get back together to just have some times of prayer and say, Lord, what can we do to begin to bear more fruit? Because we're, in many times, we're fruitless right now. We need to have people starving for the fellowship, the communion, and the truth that only the church has. I'm the vine and you're the branches. Jesus goes on and says, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a glorious statement in itself. It's a promise there that the one who abides in Christ will bear much fruit. Let me ask you today, are you bearing a lot of fruit? Are you bearing any fruit? Friends, if we abide in Christ and if he is our life, now listen, not a part of our life, but if he is our life, he's made a promise that we will bear fruit and much fruit. That's what we need to be longing for, is that time of fellowship with him and communion with him, that we're a people who bear much fruit. Jesus punctuates the statement by saying, apart from me, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. The word there is very strong. It means nothing of value. You see, unless you're abiding in Christ, all the things that you're doing amount to nothing. They won't stand the fires of test and trial. They won't even stand the trials and terrors of this world. But if you're in Christ, when you're going through times like this, you know, there's a peace that passes all understanding that's down inside of you. It's been an amazing thing that I've seen in God's people during this pandemic. I've not seen fear in God's people. I've not. I've even heard people say, well, we want to do what the government says, but I'm not afraid. What a testimony. We don't have to be afraid, do we? Because in the midst of this, you know, when really we don't know the truth from the false claims that have been made, we don't know. We know the one who does. We know God, the true God, the only God, the God who presented himself to this world as a vine, the true vine, and who invited us to be branches that abide in him and listen to him and love him and bear much fruit. And then goes on to tell us that he not only wants us to have life, but he wants us to have a joyous life. Friends, what a glorious Savior we've got. What a great opportunity we have just ahead of us. Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you've never said to him something simple like this, God, I'm a sinner, and I believe that Jesus, your Son, died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. I'm trusting in him today. I believe he rose from the dead on the third day. I give my life to you today, God. Help me walk with you every day. That's not a sinner's prayer. That's my prayer. You can have your own. But you got to come face to face with the truth that God is, and God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You've got to come face to face with the reality that there is no hope apart from Jesus Christ. Muhammad can't save you. Krishna can't save you. Your good works as Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses can't save you. The only one who can save you is the God of all creation, who established himself firmly in this world as God the Son, who gave his life on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. That's the only way you can be saved. And you've got to be saved to be one of the branches that abides in the vine. But I want to talk to the church just for a moment. Are you bearing fruit? Friends, it's Jesus' purpose for you to bear fruit. And if we're not, it might be that we're not letting him prune us like he wants to. It might be that we're not part of the vine. It might be that we're broken off and have placed ourselves away from him. What a terrible place that is. But what a glorious truth it is to know that if you are in that condition, you can come to him today and he'll receive you back in, graft you back in, if you will, and make you a part of his kingdom. So however it is and wherever it is you find yourself, I hope you find yourself either in need of Jesus or in love with Jesus. Either one. Follow him and don't ever turn your back on him. You'll never regret it. This is just part of the ministry that we have at Gravely now in our live stream service. I'm so thankful for it, but it's kind of an awkward way to present an invitation, so I always want to make this available to you. If you want to talk about the things that are important, the things that maybe you've heard, the things that you just have questions about the Bible, about our God, please contact us. You can find us on our website. I'm very easy to find with my phone number and things. I'd love to talk to you. But send us a note on email or something. If you get my number, send me a text message or give me a call. I'd love to talk to you about these things. But don't put it off. It's too important for you to have a life full of joy, and you can't have that until you have that joy in Christ. Well, this is the conclusion of our preaching time today, and I'm thankful that you joined us. I've got a couple of really exciting announcements to make to you this morning. Next Sunday, May the 31st, we are beginning to gather back together as Gravely Baptist Church.